Passage is found in Matthew chapter 1 and verse number 18 through 25. I'll read this aloud. It says, "Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When, as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus."
Calls to you, the answer. answer still the same. There's no room for Jesus, he is crowded out again. Will you open wide your hearts and let the Savior in? Christmas in your heart, make it Christmas in your heart. Open wide the door and let Jesus in your heart. As the Savior knocks today, will you coldly turn away this Christmas? Make it Christmas in your heart. This Christmas, make it Christmas in your heart.
Amen. You know, as we gather for Christmas, it's nice to see a lot of families together. It's good to have Alex and his new wife here for Christmas with Alex's family. And I know that Brian and Alex made it in, and they'll be here in a little bit. And it's good to have Caleb and his new fiance here visiting. But it's good to have family get together. And obviously, we're missing part of our family this year. We're glad for the addition of Elena, no question about that. But she is not able to come home yet. And we tried to get the little girls over there on Friday twice, and the road was closed the whole time. And Jeff tried to come over yesterday to get them, to bring them back to Boise. And he got stuck twice trying to get away from Boise. And they had 12 inches of snow in Boise. And so, so part of our family's not together. And I know a lot of families aren't able to get together, especially everybody. But I got an email from Stuart Ransom. And Stuart got saved here, got baptized here, was discipled here. And his lifelong dream was to go back to Thailand and teach English there. He visited there when he was in the Navy, and he loved it. So he did that. He's there now. The area he's in, there is no biblical church in that area. And one of the things that he mentions to me often in emails is the missing fellowship of believers. He sent me an email this morning. It said, "Merry Christmas, Pastor Frank, to you and the whole church family. Things are going well here in Thailand. Although I do miss fellowship of Bible-believing Christians in a church community, which is very absent here in Nun, Thailand." And one of the things that Stuart's asked for and we've been working on, it's not quite ready yet, is I send him my sermon outlines and he reads through them, but it's not quite the same as a message. We are working on getting audio and video on our website. Amen. And Adam Umpleby is actually helping us with that, and we're very thankful for that. So just pray that that all comes to fruition soon. One of the things Brother Stuart mentioned is the lack of fellowship and accountability and all of that. He had gotten away from the Word and had gotten away from prayer and gotten a little stale spiritually, but God convicted his heart and he's back at it. Amen. But he just wants you to be praying for him and pray that we are able to get that going. I know I sent emails to all of our missionaries that we support on foreign fields. It's just we need to think about those that are not able to be with their families at this Christmas time. And there's folks that are missing parts of their family for one reason or another. And let's just pause and pray for all of that. Amen? Let's do that. Lord, we do thank you for this Christmas celebration. And Lord, we do thank you for the gifts that we think about at Christmas time. Obviously, the greatest gift is the gift of redemption and salvation and forgiveness of sin through the giving of your Son, Jesus Christ, as a babe born in a manger. But we're thankful that He didn't just come to be celebrated as a baby in a manger. He lived a sinless life and He died on a cross and He rose again. And Lord, when we celebrate Jesus' coming, we know He came to die for our sins and we know He's coming again. And help us to be faithful until You come for us. Lord, we do pray for those that are not able to be with their family for various reasons. Lord, missing out on that dynamic of this celebration, and we pray for Your blessing on them. Lord, we pray for families that are having this Christmas and being the first Christmas since they've had one of their loved ones go into eternity. Those are always hard times. We pray for their comfort. Lord, we pray for Stuart and others that love this place but are not able to be here anymore because they've moved away. Lord, we pray that we would be able to connect with them through our website and the services being on the website, that would be a help and a blessing to them. And Lord, as we celebrate this day, help us to keep our focus on the purpose of this celebration and bringing glory to You, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Brother Chris.
Well, Merry Christmas. It's a nice day out, too. Compared to what we have had, huh? I'm going to be reading from Matthew chapter 2, verse 1 through 21. And it starts out, "Now, when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, 'Where is he that is born King of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him.' When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, 'In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus is it written by the prophet, And thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel.' Then Herod, when he had privily called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, 'Go and search diligently for the young child. And when ye have found him, bring me word again, that I may come and worship him also.' When they had heard the king, they departed. And lo, the star, which they saw in the east, went before them, till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they had saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. And being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way. And when they were departed, behold, the angel of the Lord appeareth to Joseph in a dream, saying, 'Arise, and take the young child and his mother, and flee into Egypt, and be thou there until I bring thee word. For Herod will seek the young child to destroy him.' When he arose, he took the young child and his mother by night, and departed into Egypt, and was there until the death of Herod, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, 'Out of Egypt have I called my son.' Then Herod, when he saw that he was mocked of the wise men, was exceedingly wroth, and sent forth and slew all the children that were in Bethlehem and in all the coasts thereof, from 2 years old and under, according to the time which he had diligently inquired of the wise men. Then was fulfilled that which was spoken by Jeremy the prophet, saying, "In Ramah was there a voice heard, lamentation and weeping and great mourning, Rachel weeping for her children and would not be comforted, because they are not. But when Herod was dead, behold, an angel of the Lord appeareth in a dream to Joseph in Egypt, saying, Arise, take the young child and his mother, and go into the land of Israel, for they are dead which sought the young child's life. And he arose and took the young child and his mother, and came into the land of Israel."
You know, I really like it when the Lord does His things and works things out. In the years that I've been singing in church, more often than not, my song that I picked out without any prompting or anything proved to be the song that fit right into the message. Chris read about the three wise men. Guess what my song is? We three kings of Orient are. Of Orient are, bearing is we traversed afar, field and fountain, moor and mountain, following yonder star. Oh, star of wonder, star of night, star with royal beauty bright, westward leading still. Thy perfect light, born a king on Bethlehem's plain, gold I bring to crown him again, king forever, ceasing never, over us all to reign. Oh, star of wonder, star of night, star westward leading, still proceeding, guide us to thy perfect light. Frankincense to offer have I, incense owns a deity high, prayer and praising, all men raising, worship him at God on high. Star of wonder, star of night, star with royal beauty bright, westward leading, still proceeding, guide us to thy perfect light. Myrrh is mine, is bitter perfume, breeze of life, of gathering doom, prayer. Sealed in a stone cold tomb. Oh, star of wonder, star of night, star with royal beauty bright, westward leading, still proceeding, guide us to thy perfect light. Glorious now, behold him arise, King and God and sacrifice. Alleluia, alleluia, truth in earth and skies. Oh, star of wonder, star of night, star with royal beauty bright, westward leading, still proceeding, guide us to thy perfect light.
If you would grab a hymnal from the seat in front of you and turn with me to hymn number 421. Hymn number 421. Stand with me. Our next song should be on the slide. There it is.
Christ Jesus gives every new generation a new hope, doesn't he?
Oh, amen.
Praise the Lord for that.
Very good.
We're going to read out of Luke. I missed my place here. Luke chapter 2. Thank you. And we're going to read down through the 20th verse of Luke. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made from when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went out to be taxed, every one into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, into the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of a house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And as it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone around about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord.
Amen.
And he shall be a sign unto you, and you shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them in heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go and even unto Bethlehem, and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste, and found Mary and Joseph, and the babe lying in the manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at these things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto him. Let us pray this morning. Thank you, Father, for your living word that's recorded here in Luke chapter 2. The record where Jesus Christ was born in Bethlehem, which signifies the house of bread, and it's fitting because Jesus is the bread of life.
Amen.
That bread which came down from heaven. And in John 6:50, if any man shall eat of this bread, he shall live forever. Christ was born in significance to be our supreme shepherd, the shepherd of our soul, body, and mind, a loving shepherd for all races of people upon the earth. Thank you, Lord, for the fulfilling of the prophecy of Christ's birth and that the government would be upon his shoulders. I am thankful for the announcement by the angel of Christ's birth and for the angel's words, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. Notice to all people, from the time of Adam unto this day, to all the people over the world that look to him by faith. I am thankful for the signs that accurately identify the Christ child, and thankful for the peace Jesus brings, goodwill toward all men. Christ was born in a manger because there was no room in them for the inn. The inn normally receives all comers, but Jesus receives all that comes to him by faith.
Amen.
So thank you, Father, that he, the Christ of God, hangs out the banner of love for his sign, and whosoever comes to him he will no wise cast out. Only likewise, other ends he welcomes those that come without money and without price. Christ, the flawless architect of the world, the King of kings of royal and majestic birth, being born in a stable and laid in a manger, was an example of the poverty of his parents and the humility of his kingship and person. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. O Lord, give us the eyes and hearts to humbly claim our need of him this hour, this day, and evermore. O Lord, we have many weaknesses and flaws that only you can correct when we give them to you. Lord, help us to yield ourselves to you, to be conformed into the likeness of Jesus Christ, our Savior. Bless all the believers that serve you and that are waiting for your return. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
On a clear night, many, many years ago, two weary strangers moving slow were looking for a place to stay. But there was no place, though they traveled many miles. So Mary, being great with child, lay down on the sweet-smelling hay. And then a bright light fell from heaven, as a special star shone bright. And three wise men from a foreign land came to worship him that night. And in the clear night, you could hear the angels sing praises to the newborn King. Jesus is the light of the world.
Amen.
And the angels, heralding the holy birth, were singing peace to men on earth. Unto you is born a son. And the shepherds, though they had their flocks to tend, journeyed unto Bethlehem to behold the Holy One. And then the boy grew up to be a man, come to set the captives free, come to heal the sick and raise the dead, and to cause the blind to see. And the best part is, even though he's gone away, he'll be coming back someday. Jesus is the light of the world. And the best part is, even though he's gone away, he'll be coming back someday. Jesus is the light of the world. Jesus is the light of the world. Jesus is the light of the world.
Amen. Praise the Lord. I asked her to sing that again. She sang it just a few weeks ago in our worship service, and she graciously agreed to do it again, but what a blessing that is. And I've been enjoying her singing that for a lot of years, and hope I get to hear it some more in a lot of years to come. But praise the Lord for that. Jesus is the light of the world. Aren't you thankful for that? I'd like you to take your Bibles and turn back to Luke chapter 2, where Brother Lucas just read for us. And I want us to draw our attention on one verse. And I just want to focus on four words in this one verse. And it's verse 19 is where I want to draw our attention to. We've been preaching a series through this text, Luke 2. And we talked about the glory to God in the highest and how our lives need to bring glory to God. And if we will experience God's peace and show forth goodwill to men, God will be glorified in that. And we talked about that. And we talked about how we need to be like the shepherds. We need to respond with faith in
Like the shepherds, they said, let us now go. They didn't say, let us put it off. They said, let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass. They didn't go there to make sure it really happened. They went there because they believed it really happened. Just look at the verbiage there. They said, this has happened. Let's go see it. And they wanted to experience it more personally. And you know, there's too many people that stand off with the Lord, and they need to get up and get close and personal like the shepherds did. And here we come to this statement by that's made about Mary. And it says, Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. You know, Christmas just brings with it a level of nostalgia and deep thought. We ponder the past and we look at the present and we reminisce over experiences that have taken place. I remember growing up as a boy, typically we would go to Tupelo, Mississippi, my dad's family, for Christmas. And I remember traveling there. You know, trips as a little boy, they always take longer to get there than it does to get home because you're always anticipating and all of that. I remember one year we were driving up there and the last hour we started seeing snowflakes. Now that's a pretty novel thing in from Florida. You know, and it's a novel thing in Mississippi as well. So I was pretty excited about that. It did snow twice in my lifetime living in Florida, but that's it. One was actually big enough that you could make a snowman. It was pretty fun. We had a snowball fight and all that. That's just boring to you guys. We get it up here all the time. But in Florida, that's a big deal. But I remember driving up there and seeing the flurries, and I was all excited. I was thinking, I was dreaming of a white Christmas. We don't need to dream of a white Christmas up here, right? Not this year. Other years we've had to, but not this year. And I was excited and anticipating. It didn't develop into much more than flurries and, you know, frozen mud puddles, which those are fun when you're a kid too, right? You can pretend you're skating on a frozen mud puddle. But I remember one year we didn't go to Tupelo. We went south to Fort Myers, Florida. South Florida at Christmas time is, that's a whole new experience because, I mean, people celebrate by going to the beach. I mean, it's warm down in South Florida, even at Christmas time. And it just is different. We had fun and we played and we had all that, but it was just different. I was glad we went. We went down to see my mom's family down in South Florida. But it was just a different experience altogether. But, you know, when we come to these Christmas times, we think about all those things. And that's really what is going on here. I want you to focus your thoughts on the word kept, Mary kept, and the statement, all these things. And then the word pondered, and the word heart. As we just look at this, just for a few moments, I want us to look at these words. First of all, keeping all these things. The word keeping means to keep close together. And at all these things, she's collecting all of this data. That's the way our mind works. We, through our eyes, through our ears, through our senses, we collect all this data. And I mean, she had the angel come to her, and Joseph had the angel come to him. And then all of a sudden, as they travel to Bethlehem, and the baby comes, and then all these angels, or these shepherds come and tell them about all these angels and all of this going on. And then later on, the wise men come and bring these gifts. And it was a staggering amount of information. And she kept it all together as she thought about these things. The word here means to remember mentally. The word is also translated to obey. You know, we need to remember the truths of Scripture. We need to remember the reality of what Christmas is about. And it needs to cause us to obey our Heavenly Father if we've trusted Jesus as our Savior. This word is a compound word. And it means union, to bring together. It means completeness. And truly, Jesus is the completeness of many prophecies that are foretold about His coming. But even with all that evidence, with all that data, so many people rejected Him being Messiah, even though He fit the description perfectly. And the same is true today. Even with all of this data, people still reject Jesus today and His authority, not only as Savior, but as King and Lord. They want to acknowledge Him as a babe in a manger, but they don't want to acknowledge Him as a Savior on a cross, and they definitely don't want to acknowledge Him as a coming King that they need to serve. Lord, But we have all this data. See, we got to take it in, and we've got to keep it close. He's the completeness of all of these prophecies. The other part of this compound word means to guard. And there's other words, other Greek words that mean to guard. But this word means to keep an eye on. It's different than the idea of preventing to escape. That's not this Greek word. There's no worry about this escaping. Okay, this information is not escaping. She's keeping her eye on all this information. She's brooding over all of this. You know, when you see a mother with a newborn baby, there's a lot of thoughts going on in there.
Oh boy.
And that's what we have here with Mary. She's a new mom with a new baby, and there's a lot of thoughts going on. And this baby's not just any baby. This is a special baby, and she knows that.
Yeah.
That song, Mary, Did You Know? As she was looking at Jesus, she had to realize the prophecies, not only about His coming, but about His death. The idea that she was looking at this babe and this babe was her creator, that's a mind-boggling reality.
Yeah.
But this word means to keep an eye on. It has to do with keeping and withholding change to it. Keeping it as it is. The word is actually used and applied in another place as keeping unmarried. Just keeping it the way it is. You know, there's certain things about Christmas that ought not change.
Oh, yeah.
Amen? The focus of Jesus should never change for a Christian.
Yeah.
See, we need to keep our focus on what Christmas is all about. We need to keep our focus on Jesus.
Amen.
This word is in the imperfect tense of the Greek verb, and it means keeping all the while. This is one thing. This is one instance of keeping all of this. She's storing all of this up, and she's keeping her focus on all of this, and she's going to continue keeping a thought on all of this going on.
Amen.
You know, we need to keep our focus on Jesus all year long.
Yeah.
See, there's some things we need to keep in Christmas. See, Mary kept Christ in her focus on Christmas. You know, new moms with new babies, they may let you hold that baby, but you're not getting too far with it. Because they're keeping their focus on that baby. You know, Grandma got to hold Elena, but not too many other people got to hold Elena. But Mary kept her focus on Jesus. You know, in our Christmas celebrations, we need to keep our focus on Jesus. Mary kept these truths. She collected all these truths together about the fulfilled prophecies. And her focus was on the biblical reality of who Jesus was. And in our Christmas celebrations, we need to focus on the biblical reality of who Jesus is. And not just at Christmas time, but all year long. Just like Christians ought not just be thankful at Thanksgiving, we ought to be thankful all year long. And just like for Christians, Easter is not a only time we celebrate the resurrection. Every Sunday is a celebration of the resurrection. See, we need to keep our focus on the biblical truths. See, Mary kept the gift of God in her focus. This baby was truly a gift from God in a very miraculous way. This baby came not through biological means between a husband and wife. This baby was implanted miraculously into the womb of Mary. This baby was not only conceived in a virgin, he was born of a virgin. And that's why the Bible tells us that Joseph knew her not until she brought forth her firstborn son. See, this is a gift of God. Man had nothing to do with this. All Mary says was, "Be it unto me according to thy word." She submitted to the biblical truth. That's the way we need to be. We need to see, when we open every gift, we need to be thinking about the greatest gift.
Yeah.
When we give gifts, we need to be giving also the greatest gift, the gift of Jesus. See, Mary kept the blessing she was given from her womb in her focus. And we need to keep We need to remain thankful for the blessings God's given in our lives.
Amen.
You know, I mentioned to Kimberly on the way here. She is a blessing added into our family this year. We're thankful for her. Obviously, Elena is a blessing added into our family this year. And we're glad that Sarah is going to be added into our family this coming year. But they got engaged this year. Amen. They found each other this year.
Amen.
That's a good thing.
Very good.
See, we need to keep our focus and be thankful for the blessings of God, just like Mary was. Mary kept the promise of forgiveness in her focus. As we celebrate this time, we need to remember what it's all about. His name shall be called Jesus, for He shall save His people from their sins.
Amen.
The true message of Christmas is forgiveness.
Right.
You know what saddens me? How many people that call themselves Christians who are embittered even at Christmas time, and even Christmas time exasperates that bitterness because of an attitude of unforgiveness? Forgiveness is what Christmas is all about. If for no other reason, Christmas ought to cause you to be forgiving. Whatever the ills have happened, Christmas ought to cause us to be forgiving of those ills. Mary focused on the right things. In our Christmas celebration, we need to focus on the right things.
Amen.
See, these things that she kept were the important parts of Christmas. And there's some things that we need to keep in our family as we celebrate Christ. In our families, we need to keep our family traditions centered on Christ.
Amen. Yeah, very good.
Now, I don't care where you put the wise men. I mean, if you want to make it biblical, you put them somewhere else because they're traveling. You know, it doesn't matter to me. But there needs to be something about Jesus in your family tradition of Christmas, because He's what it's all about.
Right.
See, we need to communicate the incarnation truth in our family gatherings. I love our family traditions. Dad Bickle, he always reads the Christmas story before we open any gifts. With our particular family, our Umber family, we spend time in prayer and thanking the Lord for His blessings and keeping our focus on the Lord in Christmas. But we need to focus on the incarnation truths. That's what Christmas is all about. I like how Brother Rosencrantz, he says, "Happy incarnation celebration," because that's really what it is. Amen. See, we need to pass our faith in Christ and our faith in God's Word along to our family members. And it's part of, it needs to be part of our tradition. See, we need to share the fact that our only hope for eternity is Jesus. We need to pass that on to the next generation.
Amen.
They need to hear it from us. See, there's things we need to keep in our heart. The Bible says she kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. There's some things we need to keep in our heart. God's Word is something we need to keep in our heart increasingly as the days go on. The Bible tells us in Psalm 119:10, "Thy word have I hid in my heart, with my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee." We need to store up God's Word in our heart. See, we need to value and focus our heart on the things that the truths of Scripture and the truths of Christ and the incarnation, because what we think on influences and impacts what we say and what we do. Jesus Himself said, "Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh." See, if we store up God's Word and God's truth and the reality of Christ in our hearts, it'll affect what we say and it'll affect what we do. See, that's not my opinion, that's God's Word.
Amen.
That's why the psalmist says in Psalm 1, "But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night." He's talking about the blessed man.
Yeah.
In Colossians 3, the Bible says in verse 16, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly with all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your heart to the Lord." We need to let the Word of God be the focus of our heart. We need to store it up in our minds, in our hearts. See, the things that we treasure in our heart will be the things we treasure in our lives. Mary stored these things up in her heart. and she treasured her son. Who was it that was at the cross when Jesus was hanging there? Only a few people. Mary was one of them. I want to be ready and anticipating when Jesus comes the second time. I think keeping these truths in our hearts will help us to be faithful till He comes. See, all these things about her son, Jesus, were her focus, and they're things we need to keep our focus on too. I want you to focus on these things, things worth keeping. There's a lot of things of Christmas that just aren't worth keeping. You can have Christmas without a Christmas tree. You can have Christmas without lights. I like lights. I like Christmas trees. You can have Christmas without presents, but you cannot have Christmas without Jesus. You can't have Christmas without Jesus. And the things that she was pondering in her heart, just think about all that led up to this event. The events that led up to this night. The things she was pondering in her heart had to include the angel that came to her and says, "Hail, thou art highly favored among women. Blessed art thou." She had to be thinking about the fact that when that angel came and said that God had chosen her to bring forth Messiah, she had to be thinking about the fact that she told the angel, "How is this possible, seeing I know not a man?" And she had to be thinking about the miraculous event that took place in her womb and how the angel says, "With God, nothing is impossible." She had to be thinking about that. She had to be thinking about when she came to Elizabeth's home and how the babe inside Elizabeth, 6 months along in her pregnancy with John the Baptist, the babe leapt in her womb at the presence of Messiah in the womb of Mary. She had to be thinking about that. See, that's the things that led up to this event. She had to be thinking about Joseph and how Joseph was going to put her away privily. But it was an angel that came to her and convinced Joseph, "Change your plans. This baby is from God. This is Messiah. You do not want to mess this up, Joseph." She had to be thinking about that. She had to be thinking about that journey from Bethlehem or from Jerusalem to, or Nazareth to Bethlehem. She had to be thinking about that. That wasn't comfortable. She had to be thinking about the fact that there was no room in any of the inns for them. But there was one innkeeper that had a manger, had a stall. She had to be thinking about that. "I'm glad we have some place to have this baby." She had to be thinking about how this baby was born in this humble manger, but He was the creator of the universe.
Amen.
But He was supposed to come humbly. But the second time He comes, it's not going to be humble at all. He's coming to rule and reign.
Amen.
And if you're not ready, it's going to be bad news for you.
Oh boy, park it there, bro.
We need to focus on the reality of Christmas. She had to focus on that great star that drew all of this attention to this baby. And what about those shepherds? That had to be something she was thinking about. These shepherds that came and told about these angels that came in the night sky, and they were so compelled and so convinced that they came that night to see this baby who was born. And how they were so worshipful because they knew He was Messiah. She had to be thinking about that. The message those shepherds communicated to them, she had to be thinking about that. The fact that these shepherds came to see their baby, the Christ child. And then later on, those wise men, that had to be something she added to all this data that she already had. She had to add that in there. These men that traveled so far, these men that were drawn by the star over Bethlehem, these men that came, and the greatness of these men and the wealth of these men and the significance of these men and how they bowed before this baby, that had to be something she thought about. And then those gifts that they brought to worship Him with, gold, frankincense, and myrrh, honoring His kingship and acknowledging the fact that He came to die. He was born to die.
Yeah, right.
And it says she pondered these things in her heart. This word ponder means to combine, put together. She put all this together in her mind, in her heart, in the center of her being. You know, when we get saved, that's what it takes. We've got to take the reality of our sin. We've got to take the reality of us as sinner. We've got to take the reality of being separated from God. We've got to take the reality of the fact that we can't fix it. We've got to take all this in, and the fact that Jesus left heaven and came to earth and died on the cross for us. We've got to take all that in. And then we have to embrace it by faith to where we can be born again. It's in our heart that we're saved. The Bible says with the mouth confession is made unto salvation, but with the heart man believeth unto righteousness. See, it's what you believe in your heart that changes your eternal condition, not what you pair it with your mouth. A prayer from your mouth needs to be from the beliefs of your heart, not the beliefs of somebody else's heart. It needs to be your beliefs, because only your beliefs change your heart. Only your beliefs save your soul. Only your beliefs forgive you of your sins. Only your beliefs give you eternal security in heaven forever. It's what you believe in your heart. Just like Mary, she pondered these things in her heart. She considered the significance of these things. Guarding the eternal importance of this event. Working these truths together in a growing understanding of this revelation. It's all this stuff being revealed progressively, coming together, and she's putting it all together in her hearts. You know what? That's how we grow spiritually also.
Yeah, that's right.
We start with salvation, and we learn more, and we grow more, and we read more, and we're taught more, and we understand more, and we're supposed to be growing as we're going with the Lord.
Yeah.
See, it helped her. It's personal to her. And she used it to help others. Just like the shepherds. They heard the angels, they went and saw, and they told other people about it. That's the way we need to be. We need to hear the truth, believe the truth, and share the truth. That's what we need to do. She considered the significance of these things. She weighed them in her mind. That word ponder, it means to weigh the significance, to examine with the mind. Examine the data, examine the information, weigh it out. Search the scriptures, the Bible says, for in them you have eternal life. See, she pondered these things. This word also means to stand in awe. And truly, that's the only right response to Jesus. Well, actually, I guess there could be two. To stand in awe or to bow in awe. But you better be in awe. To think that the Creator of the universe cares about little old me. To think that the righteous God of heaven wants a sinner like me to be His child. To think that God offered His only begotten Son to make it possible that a sinner like me could receive His righteousness in my heart. To think a sinner like me can spend eternity with the Holy God of heaven, that's only possible with His righteousness in my life. That's what Christmas is all about. We need to stand in awe of the reality of these things. Her thoughts were thoughts of amazement about all of these things. My friend, if the reality of Christmas and the Incarnation does not cause you to stand in amazement, you might want to reconsider all that. Because it's an amazing thought. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound.
Amen.
That saved a wretch like me. I who once was lost, and now I'm found by the Lord, the Good Shepherd, was blind in my sin, but through His righteousness now I can see. It's amazing. We should never get over that.
Amen, brother.
She was overwhelmed in amazement, in awe at the goodness of God upon her and God's grace upon her. Every believer ought to stand in amazement the same way.
Yeah.
In awe of His goodness and grace. This word ponder means to think deeply. And I think way too many Christians are way too superfluous when it comes to the reality of the Incarnation. We need to think deeply on these things, just like Mary did. It says she pondered them in her heart, the center of her being. And that's where we need to store up these truths, and we need to think on these truths, and we need to weigh these truths out. Because it's the thoughts of our heart that direct the living of our life. Proverbs 23 tells us, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Let's think right so we can live right.
Amen. Oh boy,
see, our heart, our soul, our mind, they're all synonymous in the Scripture. It's the center of our emotions. It's where our emotions are produced. If we're thinking about Jesus at the center of where our emotions are produced, I'm kind of thinking we'll have better emotions. Amen? That doesn't mean we won't be sad. But we can be sad and still have hope in Jesus.
Amen.
Bad things happen to everyone. But when we store up Jesus in our hearts and we ponder on the reality of who He is, even in our sorrow, we can have joy.
Amen.
See, we need to think on these things in our hearts, just like Mary did. And I don't know. I'm kind of reading into this, but basing on biblical truth, I'm kind of thinking that because she pondered these things in her heart, it helped her to be a better mom.
Yeah.
Bible does say, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh, right?
Right.
Bible does say that as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he, right?
Yeah.
So I don't think it's far from reality that her pondering on these things in her heart helped her to be a better mom. And with that being said, I think it's imperative for us to ponder on these things in our heart to help us be better followers of Christ. Let's pray. With your heads bowed and your eyes closed, as we come to this invitation time, friend, if you've never trusted Jesus Christ the Bible way and been born again the Bible way, there's no greater experience